Well, hello there. It's another day. I'm Jim Harrington.
And I am Bill Knight. Happy, it's Super Tuesday.
It is. A big, they say if Trump has a good day today, that effectively closes the door on any, you know, hopes that Nikki Haley would have. But I heard yesterday someone say she's until July. So
yeah, she is not getting out. I mean, I don't know why, but she is going. Well,
maybe she likes the food on the road or something. You know, she likes.
No, she just doesn't want to go home.
maybe.
But yeah, there's nothing there for her. But I think she has another agenda, and it's coming out. She is there to be a spoiler and a disruptor. And that's the only way I can explain why she gets so much news attention.
Hey, she was on with Jake Tapper yesterday. You listen to this.
Explanation was not they didn't like Donald Trump. They said he participated in an erection. And I have to, an insurrection. And I have to say, I got up at 5 this morning to do Casey Hunt's show, and I'm exhausted. So,
boy, I'll tell you, I don't
bet
know.
He did get up at 5 this morning.
You know, he put, yes. Well, I just thought that was amazing because, you know, it seems that the liberals have more of that type of error, you know, mistake than the conservatives do. You know, I'm just saying, I heard a tape yesterday. Someone played a bunch of similar flubs by liberal reporters and anchors, and they must have... I don't know, an interest in that kind of thing.
Well, but, who you know, was he it talking was a, it was to a, in that interview?
Bill, it was a split screen. Nikki Haley was on the other side of the screen, and God bless her. You know, I'm not a fan of her, but she maintained her composure.
Yeah, he was just happy to see her this morning.
I guess so. Thank you, Mae West. Anyway, it was a big decision yesterday. In case you have been asleep for over 24 hours, the Supreme Court came back and issued a 9-0 decision in favor of President Trump. He's going to be on the ballot. As a matter of fact, Maine just rectified their. They tried to do it, but they just said, "Okay, well, it's the Supreme Court. He's going to be on the ballot." So
you ever see a deer in the headlight?
Oh. Hey, I got Colorado Secretary of State right here. Listen.
My larger reaction is disappointment. I do believe that states should be able under our Constitution to bar oath-breaking insurrectionists. And ultimately, this decision leaves open the door for Congress to act to pass authorizing legislation. But we know that Congress is a nearly non-functioning body. So ultimately, it will be up to the American voters to save our democracy in November.
One of the few times I wish I could show you how she looked when she was saying that. Here's how. Imagine this, if you would. Imagine
if you will.
That you are sitting down to dinner and the chef brings out the meal and it's under. You know, he has to open the lid to show you what you're going to eat. And when he opens the lid, you see a juicy skunk, because that's what she looked like. She looked like she was smelling something bad when she was doing that statement.
It was her own breath. Because come on, you know, she goes, "We're really upset that they didn't rule this way or that way. They ruled with the law, little miss, and that's the way it is." Oh, I know. Democrats think laws are written for them and only them when they apply in their favor. When they don't apply in their favor, the law should not apply.
Well, you know. Case in point, I'm glad you said that. You know, Jamie Raskin, that liberal ding-dong, I say that with all the affection in the world, that liberal ding-dong, Jamie Raskin, he put his track shoes on. He ran to the closest camera and microphone to say, okay, here's what we can do. All right, because, okay, we lost this round, but we can come back and we'll still go after Trump. Listen to what he said.
I am working with a number of my colleagues, including Debbie Wasserman Schultz and Eric Swalwell, to revive legislation that we had to set up a process by which we could determine that someone who committed insurrection is disqualified by Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. And the House of Representatives already impeached Donald Trump for participating in insurrection by inciting it. So the House has already pronounced upon that. And
You know, you got to love how they lie. I'll tell you what they did. Yeah, the House impeached President Trump for insurrection, and the Senate found him innocent. They acquitted President Trump. So don't lie. You know, he gets out there and he makes it sound like it was a definitive action, and that was it. He was impeached for insurrection.
Unless they say they're going to go repick it up now that they have a majority and sit there and have the Senate reconsider on it. I don't know. They like to change the rules in their favor. And again, Congress can sit there and do something, but still it's got to be ratified by the Senate. And they are upset that they don't have total control. And they're upset that they didn't do it back yonder when it wouldn't have been right, but they could have got away with it. And end of story. They're going to fight him to the death. And they're also going after the money. You know, now, if Trump has got financial woes, it is because of all these crap cases, because to prove their crap cases, it takes money. It takes a lot of money. The average person could not, you know, weather that storm, and they know that. Now, you know, and they're saying, well, he's out of money, and he's going to fleece his donors and everything. Does anybody remember the Clintons and all their financial woes?
Was it the Clinton Foundation or something like that? Yeah, I remember the Clintons.
But they were broke. They didn't have a pot to tinkle in.
Yep.
And the all of a sudden, it was donate to them, contributions, everything.
Yes.
They were doing everything under the sun. Hillary got a piece of stock advice where I think she took $1,000 and turned it into $1 million.
Well, it's because she's an astute investor.
Yeah, it was like her first investment.
I know, she'd never done it before.
Right out of the box, boom, you know.
Yes. Oh, you got to love it. You should have heard CNN's reaction yesterday. You know, they had like a confab of all their correspondents sitting around a table, and the first to speak is Jim Acosta. Listen.
Justices are in a bubble, and they're not dealing with, I mean, when they say, oh, Congress can do this, there are members of Congress, and we can go through the list, who are never going to do anything that would make life difficult for Donald Trump. So to think that the Congress is going to solve this, they barely can get a post office name these days.
It's true. I mean, and you can go down the list of Supreme Court decisions that kicked whatever issue over across the street over to Congress, whether it is, Obamacare, which is something that the Democrats were very happy about when they when they did that, a little bit of a different kind of court. Voting rights, I think, is maybe the primary example of what you're saying before this. You know, look, unfortunately for America, the court isn't necessarily wrong that this is the way the framers wanted it to be. They wanted Congress, the people who are closest to their constituents, to be able to make the rules of the laws.
They were really disappointed, to say the least, with the decision. But here's what I'm concerned with, Bill. You know, we got a positive 9-0 ruling yesterday, and of course, the people on our side were just delighted, okay? They were just so happy that it was a decision that was in our favor, finally, right? But here's the problem I have. The big decision is executive privilege, executive privilege that the president has, right? And that ruling is supposed to come out relatively soon, too. And are we being set up? Okay, we got that ruling yesterday, which was a no-brainer. It was a slam dunk. I mean, anybody in their right mind, a law school student could have figured that one out. But the real important one is executive privilege. And if the president doesn't have executive privilege, then he is in a useless position. He cannot make any decisions without fearing for some kind of personal liability.
Well, now, would that go back on other presidents, including the current?
It might, but here's the problem, Bill. If they do this, John Roberts, his first indication of his being a rhino was Obamacare. Everybody thought, John Roberts was on our side. He was going to He was going to rule correctly and find Obamacare to be a tax and in illegal, and he didn't. He found it to be okay. He sided with the left, and he's done this on and off throughout his tenure in the Supreme Court. And people are saying, okay, when it push comes to shove on the real big decision like executive privilege, he's not going to rule like it should. The ruling should be simple. The ruling should be simple. If you're the president of the United States, you have executive privilege, period, while you're the president. But they're saying now, and I heard who's the guy, the guy who is a former professor of law at Harvard? You know the guy I'm talking about. He's always on Newsmax, and I'll think about it as soon as we stop talking.
But, you're asking a guy that's not good with names.
So okay, that's fine. What's your name again? But anyway.
Henry.
But anyway, they were talking about what will probably happen is it'll probably be a split decision, meaning they'll have to, if he's doing presidential stuff, he'll have immunity. But if he's president and not doing presidential stuff, there won't be immunity. And I thought, wait a second, who determines what's presidential and what's not presidential while the man is president? So you're saying that the president of the United States makes a decision, right? Let's say he does it in his bathrobe at 2 in the morning, you know, quote, off hours. Can somebody say, well, he really wasn't performing his duties as a president at 2 o'clock in the morning? We had to wake him up in the middle of the night, and he made this momentous decision, and he should be sued for it. I mean, that's essentially what they're talking about here. They're talking about somebody, and who is the person who's going to decide what is and what isn't? These little nuances are going to destroy our democracy. We have got to be what we've always been as president. When Roosevelt made this, when Harry Truman made the decision to drop the nuclear bomb, right? He made a decision which affected tens of thousands of people, and could he have been sued? He probably could have if he was exposed to that, you know?
Well, you know, here's a question for you. I guess if he can't be sued, he's not alive, can his family members be sued?
I don't know.
You know, I don't know. You know, but the president's got to have the ability to act like a president and do the job that no one else would dare take on or do, because it's, you know, there's some things that you're going to get your hands dirty.
Yeah, that's true. And I don't know, Bill. I'm at a point right now where I look at how they're trying to nitpick Donald Trump. They're trying to, what do they say, death by a thousand slashes. They're trying to slash him. They cannot beat him in the election. I'm just looking
they
at this
that.
Brand new CBS poll. Trump widens lead on Biden due to economy and the border. It says here 66% say things in America are going badly under Biden. 45% say Biden has done poorly as president. 45% say Biden's southern border is a crisis. 50% believe a second Biden term would exacerbate the border crisis. 72% say a second Trump term would reduce illegal crossings. 37% say Democrats' diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts have gone too far, with 37% also saying Republican stances on DEI are about right, diversity, equity, and inclusion. 55% say a Biden second term would make prices go up. 44% say a second Trump term would make prices go down. Trump, 45%, leads Biden 17% by 28 points on being physically healthy enough to be president again. And finally, Trump leads Biden by 17 points, 43-26, on mental and cognitive health to serve as president again. That's from CBS. That's not a friendly poll.
No, it's not, and it's only worse. I saw one where, you know, Trump basically has 90% of the Republican base and 20% of the Democrat base from Joe, and Joe is, and when I say 20%, Joe has only got 20% of his base.
Yeah.
And Trump is taken from that. So, you know, you're sitting there going, the guy can't win. They're going to, you know, take him out of the saddle. And I don't know who they're going to put in his place. You know, I'm thinking Newsom, but
here's the thing that I'm wondering, you know, it's getting closer and closer. I heard that they were going to get rid of Biden long before Super Tuesday. Well, here's Super
Tuesday.
They haven't
done it yet.
Yeah. Well, I think here's the problem. You know, Biden, even in his confusion, he has an ego. He has a big ego, and he also has Jill, right?
Yeah, Jill, she's wearing the pants.
Oh, and she wants him to be president again. She loves being the first lady. And I think the problem the Democrats have right now is that you got a delusional and cognitively malfunctioning president. You have him wanting to stay on as president. He won't give up.
Well, you know, you had, what was her name that was the president for a while? Eleanor.
Well, actually,
you know, she ran things in the background.
Actually, you can go back to, who was it? It was 1919, and the guy had a stroke, and I can't think of his name, but I'll think about it.
Oh, yeah.
And his wife, literally, she would prop the president up in bed and make his pillows look good, and she would sit next to him, and when people came in from Congress to talk about policy, he would nod, but he wouldn't respond. She would be his mouthpiece.
Yeah.
You know, the president will take that into consideration. That's an interesting bill. That could be interesting. We'll talk about that and get back to you. That kind of a thing. And there have been first ladies who have had the power. I think that Jill Biden right now probably has a lot more control than you can imagine. But that's just me, you know. But anyway, Trump is looking for a big victory today. I think if all the polls are right, he has a chance to wrap it up, and then he'll focus totally on. But see, the Democrats, they're not going to, they cannot go head to head with Trump. They got to bring him down in court. Don't be surprised if at least one of these indictments is a guilty verdict and he is, quote, a felon. And then they're going to start talking about, do you want a felon to be the president of the United States? They're going to try to sell this phony charge and this phony conviction to the American public. I think we're beyond that. To be honest with you, I think people are
it could be a badge aware. Of honor for them, and that could be the crossing of the T's and the dotting of the I's.
Well, anyway, it'll be interesting to see how the day progresses. A lot of stuff going on in our world. While we're sitting around looking at politics, our border is being crushed. They say that between the time that Biden was on the border and today, illegal entries have significantly increased. Think about that for a second.
The numbers we're getting, 7,700 a day, I think I mentioned yesterday, is what they're saying, and which I believe it's more than that when you look at the numbers. But even if you just go by the numbers, we've got 20 million people here, that they're not talking about.
You know, the president I was talking about, the guy who was being propped up in bed, was Woodrow Wilson. It's early in the morning, friends, and I don't have the same problem that Jake Tapper has. Sometimes it's hard to get into gear, you know?
Yeah. Apparently he didn't. He was excited to see Nikki.
You hear what he said.
Explanation was not they didn't like Donald Trump. They said he participated in an erection. And I have to, an insurrection. And I have to say, I got up at 5 this morning to do Casey Hunt's show, and I'm exhausted. So
I'm sure he is.
Yeah. So my guy hasn't participated in an erection. Insurrection.
You know, folks, you have to laugh sometimes. It's just funny.
Look, know what? Actually, in his defense, it is a Freudian slip. It's an easy thing to do.
Don't blame it on Freud's dresses, you know.
Did he wear dresses?
You know, he wore slips. So he had that dress. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, hey, I'm not. That's as far as I want to go. No.
President Trump talked about the decision yesterday. I broke it down into four pieces, and we're going to play it for you. Here's part one.
A very important decision. We're very well crafted, and I think it will go a long way toward bringing our country together, which our country needs. And they worked long, they worked hard, and frankly, they worked very quickly on something that will be spoken about 100 years from now and 200 years from now, extremely important. Essentially, you cannot take somebody out of a race because an opponent would like to have it that way. And it has nothing to do with the fact that it's the leading candidate, whether it was the leading candidate or a candidate that was well down on the totem pole. You cannot take somebody out of a race. The voters can take the person out of the race very quickly, but a court shouldn't be doing that, and the Supreme Court saw that very well. And I really do believe that will be a unifying factor, because while most states were thrilled to have me, there were some that didn't, and they didn't want that for political reasons. They didn't want that because of poll numbers, because the poll numbers are very good. We're beating President Biden in almost every poll. New York Times came out yesterday with a very big poll for us. So they didn't like that, and you can't do that. You can't do what they tried to do. And hopefully Colorado, as an example, will unify. I know there's tremendous support. They brought our support up very strong in Colorado, because people in Colorado thought that was a terrible thing that they did. And while we're on the subject, and another thing that will be coming up very soon will be immunity for a president. And not immunity for me, but for any president. If a president doesn't have full immunity, you really don't have a president, because nobody that is serving in that office will have the courage to make, in many cases, what would be the right decision, or it could be the wrong decision. It could be, in some cases, the wrong decision, but they have to make decisions, and they have to make them free of all terror that can be rained upon them when they leave office, or even before they leave office. And some decisions are very tough. I can tell you that as a president, that some decisions to make are very tough. I took out ISIS, and I took out some very big people from the standpoint of a different part of the world. Two of the leading terrorists, probably the two leading terrorists ever that we've ever seen in this world. And those are big decisions. I don't want to be prosecuted for it. Another president wouldn't want to be prosecuted for it. It had a tremendously positive impact. It stopped everything cold. And sometimes you have to make them. They were tough decisions. Sometimes you have to make decisions like that. When you make a decision, you don't want to have your opposing party or opponent or even somebody that just thinks you're wrong bring a criminal suit against you or any kind of a suit when you leave office. I have that right now at a level that nobody's ever seen before. I have rogue prosecutors, and I have rogue judges. I have judges that are out of control. And it's a very unfair thing for me, but I'm serving perhaps as a sample to others of what should not be happening when you make good decisions. And in my case, the economy was great. We didn't go into any wars. We totally defeated ISIS. We provided the largest tax cuts in history. We provided the largest regulation cuts in history. But think of it, no wars. We beat ISIS 100% of the caliphate. Then there were no wars. We did a job that was great, but maybe I wouldn't have done that. The caliphate, defeating them, was very powerful. It was going to take 4 years. It took me 4 months. But it was a very strong dictum that I gave. I said, get them. Defeat them. End it. We were fighting for 20 years against ISIS, and we did it very quickly. I don't want to be prosecuted. In that case, it worked out very well. There will be some things that perhaps don't work out so well, but I don't want to be prosecuted because I decided to do something that is very much for the good of the country and actually for the good of the world. The president shouldn't have that on his mind, and he has to have a free and clear mind when he makes very big decisions, or it's going to be nothing more than a ceremonial post.
You know, most people that I've heard talk about President Trump who know him say he's a very smart guy. And I was thinking as he was talking, about how he is a self-promoter. You know, that drives a lot of people nuts. But if he doesn't do that, Bill, if he doesn't promote himself, the media will destroy him.
But if you didn't hear him say everything he just said for himself, the left media would sit there and let you know right offhand that he was unhinged and ranting wildly.
Yeah.
Did you hear that at all?
I heard them disappointed that he actually sounded kind of articulate. They didn't sound happy that his statement was so coherent. We got to a couple more pieces.
He's always coherent. Sometimes what my point is, you know, there are some things you do that are theatrical to get attention. There are times, though, he talks, you know, eloquently. He's, you know, everything. A rally is different than that speech. You know, he's right on the money. And
ever wonder what some of the other presidents that we didn't have social media for sounded like? I mean, what would Calvin Coolidge have sounded like with social media? Would people have voted for the guy? Probably not. You know, they say he was kind of a Casper milquetoast. You know, this is a different world we're living in right now, where everything these guys say is out there.
Well, think about this now. He was the president of the United States. Some people say he still is the president of the United States, and Biden is not. Be that as it is, the simple fact is, you know, he's talking about a president's got to be free to do what a president has to do and not be held accountable for it. And I agree with that. You may not be happy with it, and you can exercise your unhappiness with him at the polls when you vote. What other countries in the world don't allow their presidents to do anything or their leaders to do anything, and they hold them totally accountable for everything, or do they?
Well, I know that a lot of countries that don't give the president the power that our president has, they are, and Trump even says it becomes a mostly ceremonial position. You
then
know,
it means nothing. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's a joke position, and then, you know, that means it's a rule of a party. Whatever party controls.
Yeah.
The House is it. And, you know, and maybe that's what the Democrats want. You know, they're happy to have their leader in command, but they'd rather have all the power go to a Democrat Congress and a Democrat Senate. Mm. And the Republicans are there just for show for you to say, well, the will of the people want Democrats to run everything. You know, that's not the case.
President Trump had more to say.
Who wants to leave office and go through what I've gone through? I'm being prosecuted by Biden, my opponent, because every one of these things, whether it's Fannie Willis or Bragg, these are local and state, but they're in total coordination with the White House. You can't do that. It shouldn't be done. I mean, a thing like that, in the case of the DA's office, they put one of the top people, maybe the second person, in the Manhattan DA's office to get Trump. They had a Hillary Clinton lawyer leave the law firm, very prestigious, big law firm, leave the law firm to go into the DA's office to get Trump, Pomerantz, Mr. Pomerantz. So he goes in to become a prosecutor, worked for the Democrat Party and Hillary Clinton, goes in to prosecute Donald Trump at a local level in total coordination with the Department of Justice, meaning Biden. And then you have the Fannie Willis, or as she would say, Fannie. F-A-N-I, Fani, and she hired somebody, knew the person long before this horrible prosecution took place, and she went out and she paid him an unbelievable amount of money, more money than he ever dreamt possible, much more money than other people that do that for a living. He never did it at all, had no experience in it at all, and they had obviously a conflict. We don't have to go into that, but they were able to get a lot of money because it was a high-profile person. Me, I'm a very high-profile person. So they were able to pay him close to $1 million when he was not equipped to do the job, and she's not equipped to do the job, and that case should end immediately. That case is so conflicted, nobody's ever seen anything like it. And then you have deranged Jack Smith, who's a Trump hater and represents all the Trump haters. And he's going wild. He's just a wild man. He's been overturned unanimously by the Supreme Court. Went after other people over the years. He's a great failure. But he's mean, he's nasty, he's unfair. And the judges on these cases, they're all Trump haters. Other than we have maybe one or two that I think can be fair. But you look at New York, what's happened. I mean, these people have tremendous hatred. You can't do this to a president. And again, I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about in the future. A president has to be free. A president has to be, if the president does a good job, I did. Some people would say a great job. But if the president does a good job, a president should be free and clear and frankly celebrated for having done a good job. Not indicted four times and not gone after on a civil basis and not demanded to pay hundreds of millions of dollars in fines on something that was absolutely perfect, where there were no victims, where the financial statements were absolutely flawless, where you have disclaimer clauses. I mean, nobody's ever had anything like this. I wasn't given a jury. And I had a clubhouse judge just come up with this number on a perfect loan and very conservative financial statements. But even at that, if you look, the disclaimer says don't rely on the financial statements in any way, shape, or form. Go out and do your own work. The bank in question had the most sophisticated lawyers in the world, frankly, one of the top law firms anywhere in the country. And they can defend themselves. What guys like Bragg and Letitia James and Fani and deranged Jack Smith, what they should be doing is fighting violent crime. And that would lead me to the end. I will say that President Biden, number one, stop weaponization. Fight your fight yourself. Don't use prosecutors and judges to go after your opponent, to try and damage your opponent so you can win an election. Our country is much bigger than that. The other thing I say to President Biden, close the borders now. This is not sustainable for our country. It's not sustainable for our cities.
It's interesting. I got two things out of that. He said that Fani Willis and all these other indictments, they've sent their attorneys down to the White House to coordinate with the White House their attack. And I'm thinking, this is so corrupt. This is so obviously corrupt.
Yeah, the Fani Willis thing, though, there's a lot of twists and turns. There's more evidence now from her side where she told Wade she was worried about
they're coming after us.
The affair, and you got to be quiet about our illicit affair and all that stuff. But apparently, the prosecutor for Trump apparently kind of worked on the Wade campaign a while back. So they're trying to throw that into the mix because she had a pro-Wade shirt or whatever it was when the election was. Well, all that does, I don't think that helps them at all. They're just trying to, you know, tit for tat. But what it says is that whole case is compromised, has been from the get-go. You know, it's that train has gone off the track. It's crashed. It's flipped over. You know, but it's on fire.
What's interesting, Bill, is not just that case, but if they're all coordinating with the White House, they're all corrupt.
James, she had a nice little visit with the Biden administration, went to Washington beforehand. You know, he said, well, he had no jury. And they said, well, he didn't request a jury. Ah, but his attorney said, no, I did. Here it is. Well, see, they don't have to award a jury, but they lied.
Of course.
Said, well, he didn't request it. You know, now, Engron is compromised because according to Letitia herself, in her own words, before the trial, the judge has already, you know, got an opinion, made a decision on this case. Then he can't hear the damn case. That's all there is to it. But he did.
Yes.
And he said, nah, you don't need a jury. Nah, you don't need witnesses. You know, we're not going to allow you to talk. We're going to gag you a little bit here. so that we can carve out my decision. That was what this was.
The legal expert that I was thinking about was Alan Dershowitz, by the way. I had a mental block, but I have that a lot. I've had it since, like, probably third grade. But the interesting thing is Dershowitz, he is not convinced that, as a lot of people are, that they should spend their money too soon on that that victory in New York, because he thinks it's going to be overturned in the long run. I do, too. I think it's a short-term, you know, celebratory dance,
well,
but it's not going to last.
The Jack Smith case.
Yeah.
Is not holding water right now because, A, the ruling yesterday, maybe the future ruling is going to come down. But the other thing is, when he brings in evidence, it's subject to the what is it, the Brady rule, which means that, you know what, could get the whole damn case dismissed, which is pro-Trump.
Well,
so,
I guess there's a lot of discussion as to whether he has the legal authority to be a special counsel. There's
well,
a lot of talk right now.
That's another thing, yeah.
So
this whole thing is, you know, the Democrats have led it, and they've gotten this train pretty far down the track.
But Bill, did they want? Was their goal to win the cases or muddy the water so much that people wouldn't vote for Trump?
Well, they wanted to muddy the waters. I think that was the number one thing. You kind of tear it.
Yeah.
Let's muddy the waters so even if we don't win the cases, we befuddle him. We soil him. We stain him. He's a stain on society. No, you're the stain, trying to put your stain on him. That's what they were trying to do. That hasn't worked. So then they got to win, and they're not winning. Are they going to, you know, now they're going after his money. You know, they're trying to say, well, you know, he's going to use campaign contributions or
and you
come
know,
up with schemes to
what
win.
They don't Bill, they don't understand that the Trump supporters will gladly give him money, will gladly support.
If somebody set up a fund that sat there and said, you know, this is for Trump's legal fees only, I'd probably donate to that because then it's not the RNC going,
right.
Yeah, we're
going
to take this money and give it to this rhino.
Yep.
If I knew the money was not going to Rhino, it was going to him, his defense, and his campaign, and solely to that,
yep.
You know, I don't have a problem with it. It may not be a lot of money, but I think a lot of people feel that way. They don't trust the Democrats, and we don't trust the rhinos. We don't trust.
The good news is that we're going to have a new Republican Party chairman soon. And,
is that going to change anything?
Well, it depends. One of the people they're talking about is Laura Trump, which would be interesting. President Trump had one more piece from his comments yesterday.
Sure.
Listen.
Our country is under siege. This is a violent thing that you've done. And many people are dying. Many, many people are dying. They die on the trip up. They die going through the border, and they die in our country. But many of the people coming up are from prisons and jails, from mental institutions and insane asylums. Many are terrorists. You see it. Many, many are terrorists. And I believe the real number that we have right now is probably closer to 15 million people. And by the time the term ends, I believe the president's term ends, I believe you'll be at close to 20 million people. That's almost larger than any state in the union. Our country, it is not sustainable. Many of these people are tough. Many of these people are bad. They come from some of the roughest countries in the world and some of the roughest prisons. We have prisons in the Congo, in Africa, coming. We have people coming from all parts of the Middle East. They're coming from Yemen, and yet we're bombing Yemen. You have to stop. You have to close the border. You have absolute authorization. You don't need Congress. I had the safest border in the history of our country, and I didn't use Congress for it. And then I built hundreds of miles of wall, and the reason I built it and how I built it was I considered it an invasion of our country, and I took the money from the military and the Army Corps of Engineers. Did it with me, and we did a great job. And we had the safest border we've ever had, and now we have the most unsafe border anywhere in the world at any time. There's never been a border like this at any country, anywhere in the world. They would have fought with sticks and stones to to stop the horrible situation that's occurring. Our people can't stand it, and the people coming in really can't stand it because they're dying. Many are dying on the trip up, and they're dying in the country. And also, many of the people are criminals, and they're doing tremendous harm. I call it migrant crime. It's migrant crime. It's a new category of crime. They're hurting our country horribly, and we've become a laughingstock all over the world. So I say respectfully to President Biden, you have the authorization right now. I did it. I didn't go to Congress and say, do I have the right to close? I fought Congress on it. Close the borders. You can do it right now. You have everything. Use my policies. My policies were great. Everybody said it. Use my policies. So just to finish, I have great respect for the Supreme Court, and I want to just thank them for working so quickly and so diligently and so brilliantly. And again, this is a unifying factor. Everybody now is together, and they can go after me as a politician. They can go after me with votes, but they're not going to go after me with that kind of lawsuit that takes somebody out of a race who's leading in this case, but even if the person wasn't leading. And I want to thank you all for being here.
President Trump yesterday, that's his conclusion to his statement. You know, I was thinking about what Biden's trying to sell to the American people. Mm. He doesn't want to call them undocumented aliens. He's calling them undocumented immigrants right now. Undocumented immigrants.
Well, yeah, immigrants have voting rights. They are entitled to benefits.
Mm-hmm.
To government positions. Yeah,
he's calling them undocumented non-citizens. That's what he's calling them.
Yeah.
Undocumented non-citizens. That was the term he used in one of his recent statements. Ay, ay, ay.
Well, you know, Hochul, in New York, she's mm-hmm. given $2.4 billion. For the immigrants, you know?
You know, Bill...
Where's this money coming from?
How would you like to be a resident of New York State and you bust your derrière, en français, s'il vous plaît, you bust your derrière every day to make ends meet, and you find out that this fathead in Albany is taking your money and giving barrels full of cash to illegals?
Well, I wouldn't be too happy. I mean, I see real estate prices dropping there. The big business is moving out of New York, and it's all been since she's there. And, of course, the mayor of New York City, it makes you kind of scratch your head. I look at her, though, and I'm not trying to, you know, because I listen to what people say and how they say it. I look at their look, like her. You know, she's got a very... She's got this attitude that she portrays.
Snooty. Snooty's a good word.
Well, I'll tell you what to look for. When you look at her picture, she shaves her eyebrows and she paints them on where they're kind of raised.
Yeah.
And that is, it shows she disapproves of you. It's a dominance thing. And it's, you know,
she's
and
above
it's a constant.
You.
She is above you.
Yes.
And she's on to you. She knows better. And that's what she's portraying. And now I'm not trying to make a generalization, but usually you can tell by the way a person presents themselves, how they feel.
Well, Bill,
and
the video this morning, the first thing for that Secretary of State from Colorado, yeah. You saw on the video her disdain for the decision and for the people who supported the decision.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, if you study body language as well as what they say, you know who they are. Like, right away, before I ever heard her mouth open, I knew what she was. Yeah. I knew who she was. And I knew that, you know, she's there to put me in my place because she knows everything. And I'm like going, and so that, you know, instantly put up my guard for anything that she would say. Now, I'm not from New York, so I don't have to worry about it. But if I was, I would take everything from her with a grain of salt, because to me, it's what's coming out of her mouth is raw sewage. And it definitely is.
Bill,
did
you say $4 billion?
No, $2.4 billion.
I'm sorry, $2.4? That's still an incredible amount of money.
Right. I mean, look, veterans that serve for this country that are going without meals, they can't get a job, or they suffer from PTSD for doing the job that we don't want to do or couldn't do, but they were forced to do it. You talk about people because, you know, they came up in a world where, you know, hey, you've got a skill, you know, that you're going to be a tradesman. Well, you don't need that trade anymore because a college grad came along and automated your job, and now you're on the street. You know, and children, you know, that are abused and neglected. The list goes on.
Is that the left buying votes with your money?
Absolutely.
Wow.
And that's what Hochul's doing with her raised eyebrows. Take a look. If you understand what I'm saying, take a look at the picture and then think about other people you know that are that way. You know, I could think of somebody, a media clown friend of ours, who thinks she's high and patootie and came from your area and down in Florida now, but she has a very left, you know, I know it all, and she was that way in the business too. And to be honest, when she got into the business, she was a phony.
Well, you know, I think that they're going to do everything they can right now to not just humble, but destroy Trump. If you look at it historically, for this election, they started out with the possibility of indictments. Then they saw that wasn't having an effect, so they indicted him. They had this. They talked about the special counsel. Then they got the special counsel. Then they started throwing. You know, they had the raid last August on Mar-a-Lago. Mm-hmm. That was totally by surprise, and they went through and embarrassed the living daylights out of them. They didn't do it so much for the raid. You know, a lot of people don't understand is President Trump was cooperating with the FBI. They were in conversations back and forth, and there was an understanding that whatever you need, we'll get it for you. There's nothing here that you can't see. Don't worry about it. That whole attack, and I say attack, it was like an attack. That whole raid on Mar-a-Lago was to embarrass and destroy the presidential ambitions of President Trump. Well, to the surprise of the left, it lit a fire under the Trump supporters. And every subsequent action against Trump has only made him stronger and more powerful. Mm-hmm. And now, Bill, I'm seriously worried for the man because I think they're starting to get down the road to the point of desperation, if you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, there are attempts all the time. I know what you're talking about. And, and I've said it before, too. And he knows that. You know, why is he doing? He crossed the point of no return a long time ago. Even if he sat there and said, "You know what? I've had it. I've done it. I'm out of this. I'm done. You're on your own," which we would all be very disappointed. And I would understand it. Mm-hmm. But the left is going, no, they want that. They want a trophy. They want it on their mantle. They don't care how they have to get it. They want his head. They want his skull on a stick in their front yard, and they're going to do it. As you know, any which way that they can, want him as a trophy.
There was a time when he could have gotten out and they would have dropped the charges, or they wouldn't have charged him. Okay, but like you say, I believe they're way beyond that right now. Even if he were to get out right now, they would still go after him to hobble him, to destroy him. They're not going to stop. The only way he's going to get out of this is to destroy them. And here's the other thing, Bill. They are, in my opinion, when you hear the left commentators sounding a little panicky, I think it's because some of them realize that they've been lying. They have been lying for two and a half, three years. And maybe if Trump gets into office, they're going to have to explain themselves at the very least. You know, they're talking about he'll be a dictator. He'll be bringing the hammer down on the left and his opponents. No, what he may be doing is legally, and I say legally going after the people who have done illegal things for the last 3 years. And there have been a lot of them, Bill. A lot of them.
Yeah, well, there have been. But you know, the one thing.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'll bring it up.
All I was going to say was he is going to have, I think, a very successful day today. It could close the door on Nikki Haley, although she may not want to go out the door. But it's going to be closed. If it wasn't closed in South Carolina, if she loses most of these states, she may actually win like a state like Massachusetts or something like that. But that's so blue, it's unbelievable. But I think that Trump is going to, for the most part, sweep today. And then it's going to be a moot point for Nikki.
Yeah, it is. But she's going to go on because she's there for a reason. She's not going to get to sweep up the crumbs if they take out Trump. I'm sorry, Nikki, but you're not.
No.
But she is there for a reason, and that's all there is to it.
Don't you think she's alienated all of the Republicans who side with Trump? I think Trump got out right now, Nikki would not inherit a blessed vote.
Well, you know, a lot of women, and Republican women, still, they would love to have a woman in the White House, and I'm not against a woman in the White House. Not Nikki, not Hillary, not Kamala, and not Michelle. It sounds like you're against women. No, I like Nikki Haley.
I like
Tulsi.
Carrie Lake. I like Carrie Lake very much.
You know, there are definitely women that are more than qualified for the job. Just be careful whether male or female who you pick. Trump is a known commodity. Yeah, they put a lot of dirt out there to hang on the clothesline, a lot of dirty laundry. Some of it is maybe his, some of it's not. But you know what? Clinton has dirty laundry. Biden has dirty laundry. You know, and when I talk about it's all in the eyes when you look at people, you know, he hides his with shades. He's always doing that, and he's got an ice cream cone. You can't see his lips. You can't see his eyes.
That's true.
He doesn't want you to see him because – you know,
you'll see
behind,
into his soul. Yeah.
But you look at Trump, he's got actually innocent eyes and an innocent face, but he looks you dead on. When a person is either there's something they're withholding or there's something. And I learned this a long time ago. You know, they can't look you dead on, or they look away. And if they look a certain way, that tells you whether they're telling the truth or they're telling a lie. I look at a picture of even Putin. You know, he doesn't have the hiding face. I can tell where he stands, and maybe the picture they paint, he's an evil man, but the picture that they paint is entirely different. There was a story that I was looking at here that I just saw. This is kind of scary, but NATO starts major drills near Russia's border, 20,000 troops.
The next story. Are we on the same page? Is that amazing? That's a big deal.
That's a war because there's got to be – are some of those NATO troops American troops?
They're going to be in Finland, Bill. They're going to be right on the border of Russia. They're going to be practicing war games right on the border of Russia. And you said, what, 20,000 troops?
They say 20,000. Now, I know from Facebook a guy, he's kind of a wildcat out there, but he's in the military. And everything he's got, and he's a U.S. soldier, and he's posting, you know, just his little stuff, you know, weird stuff, but not about military maneuvers, but he's in the military. Mm-hmm. Where is he? The Ukraine. And he's with the U.S.
Well, you know what else I heard about the Ukraine?
What the hell is he doing there?
Oh, well, that's a good point. I heard that, was it England? And not Germany, England and one other country, maybe it's France, have advisors over in the Ukraine now.
Isn't that how the Vietnam War started?
That's exactly right. We called it a police action. Remember, it wasn't a war.
So we're policing right now. We need billions of dollars for that. Do you want that? And, you know, you're not messing with Vietnam. You're messing with Russia.
I've got a question. Do you think that they want a World War III?
Well, it would sure do something to the election. You know, there's so many things at play. And it's about this. This is almost like a board game of, you know, world power. You know, you couldn't make a more precise, more perfect war game scenario. But we're the pawns, mm-hmm, in this board game. And it's not a fun board game.
No,
that we are playing in.
You know, it is, to a rational person, it makes no sense at all that we would want to take. By the way, you have to understand, we are essentially a broke country. You, mm-hmm, know, we keep telling ourselves the deficit is only, you know, $36 trillion. Deficit means you're in the red, okay? I mean, if you ran a deficit on your credit card that was, let's say hypothetically, you had a credit card that had a $1,500 limit, and you run a deficit of $3,000. First of all, they wouldn't let you do it. But that's essentially what they're talking about. We are deep up to our eyeballs in debt. Yet they're turning around and they're saying we have to send another $60 billion to the money pit called Ukraine. For what? Who's going to get it? There is no accountability. We have had no auditing. We haven't had a thing come back to the U.S. saying, okay, you sent $100 billion over before. Here's what we spent it on, A, B, C. No, 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 no. I have more accountability on my yearly taxes than I think that the Ukraine has for the money we've sent them. Yet these guys in Congress are begging us to send the $60 billion over. You have to ask yourself, what's in it for them? What are they going to get something? I mean, you heard the stories not too long ago. We talked about it on this show, that the gifting of money to this country was like a cycle. It goes over there, and some of it, not all of it, some of it ends up back in the pockets of people in Washington. You know, somebody's getting their palms greased, and you know, they love it. They love it. I mean, it is money. It's their whole life. They live for this kind of thing. That's why they're desperate to see us spend it. They'll tell you, you know, if you want us to win the war and stop the Russian bear, we have to send $60 billion over to Russia. You know, everybody that I hear talking about, let me tell you the situation as I've heard them talk about it, honest people. Ukraine has literally just about annihilated a large swath of a generation. The middle-aged, younger men are gone. The hundreds of thousands of young men from the Ukraine are dead or so severely hurt that they'll never function normally again. And yet we don't go over there and talk about sitting down and having a peace conversation. No, no. We talk about continuing the battle. Now they're talking about drafting, I think they've already started, drafting older men in their 50s and 60s to fight the battle, and also younger children. You know, lowering the age from maybe 18 or whatever it is down to 17 or 16. They're wiping out their men in the Ukraine, and all they want to do is continue it. And by the way, Russia outnumbers them like 100-1. It is, you're not going to beat Russia because through sheer attrition, they're going to beat you. Do you know what I'm saying? If you lose 1-1, you will run out faster than Russia. They'll have plenty left when the war is over and all your guys are gone. But they still want us to send money over. Now, you got to ask yourself why. What's in it for them? Look, I do think, like you said a little while ago, that Putin is not, he's a bad guy in so many ways. He's very much pro-Russia and pro-Putin, okay? So,
and so what he's about.
Yeah, he's kind of the criminal Donald Trump. He's not, maybe that's why they get along, because they know each other. They're kind of the same alpha male, you know? Trump is, you know, he looks him in the eye. Biden mumbles and fumbles and gets lost in his thoughts. And I saw a picture of him, Bill, sitting down with, I want to say, the president of Italy or someone in the White mm-hmm. House. And he's talking, the president of Italy is talking to Biden, and Biden nods off in the chair. And I thought, you've got to be kidding me. This is our supreme leader, our commander in chief, and he can't stay awake for a meeting with a foreign dignitary in the White House?
No.
And they want another 4 years with this? They'll be, you know, God forbid. Anyway, Bill,
he wouldn't make it to the inauguration. I mean, if he wins, but maybe, you know, maybe they just want to get him past the election. And then, because what happens if he wins the election and croaks, or he can't hold power? Then who do they swear in?
It's going to be Kamala.
Yeah,
you know, she'll be the president.
And she's trying to act presidential, you know. Or they get up to the convention, Democratic convention. They have all the delegates, and now they just throw in who they want to because they know Democrats will vote for a Democrat no matter what. So they think anyway. I don't know if the people are that stupid, but we would find out come November. You know, I was noticing on the Supreme Court ruling there were people protesting and all that. The crowds out there.
Yeah.
I mean, what? They had maybe four people?
I was going to say, well, maybe they had like 18 or 19 people. A lot of them were reporters, so they don't count.
Holding up signs. Yeah. You know, 3, 4, 5, 18 people. Woo! Boy, you're commanding something there. This is a shocker for the green movement because now there's a study out there on electronic cars that they release more toxic emissions than gas-powered vehicles, and they're worse for the environment, and there's old studies that support that too. And then, you know, you take that into account, and then you talk about the Northeastern Strategic Supply up in the Northeast. That's our final strategic supply. Biden has sold it off and dismantling it. But don't worry, folks. We will be producing gas and oil and gas in the United States again. Probably not under our flag. If Biden has anything to do with it, it might be under a Chinese or a Russian flag.
I saw a videotape.
But not as an American flag.
I saw a videotape yesterday from 1943 of a car that they had in Europe that was all electric. And it was like a cab company that was using them, and they would drive the car into the place. A couple of guys would come out, and they'd take the hood off. They'd come over with the winch, and they'd lift the battery out of the car, and they would drop another battery in, right? And then they would put the wires back on it, close the hood. The guy would leave. 5 minutes, the guy was in and out. It was hot, swappable batteries. They would take the battery that was discharged and recharge it for the next vehicle that came in. And what they proved back then is, you can have electric cars, and here's how you solve the problem with batteries. You swap them, right? I used to think, why don't they swap the batteries? You know, why are we spending all this money for batteries? Why aren't they all consistent? Okay, if you're going to have electric cars, they all have this type of battery. When you go into a service station, you don't sit around and charge the battery and waste much of your day while the car is being charged. You swap them. You know, you just hot swap the batteries. You take the batteries that are charged and you put them in the car and take the... But see, here's the thing, Bill. They're all lithium, and lithium is coming from where? China.
We make lithium here, you know, and lithium is used in a lot of things. But anyway, go on.
No, I was just going to say that I've read that most of the products for those batteries come from China. That's the deal. That's why China is so hot to trot with electric cars, because the big expense in an electric car is the product that the Chinese make.
Do you know that over in our ports there are container cargo ships full of electric cars that they are flooding the Chinese cars into America during the Biden presidency, of course.
Yeah.
But lithium, just so you know, whether you have an acid battery, which China is the producer of that, we used to produce them. Okay, dangerous battery because of the environmental impact.
Sure.
Lithium, you know, I mean, lithium is used for a lot of things. Lithium batteries can be dangerous when it's
flammable.
Water.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is flammable, but it's the way it's processed and everything. Over in, I believe, Nevada, Arizona, we have lithium everywhere in this country.
We closed those mines down, though, Bill, didn't we?
Well, I think we have some that are working, but yeah, Biden has pretty much shut down everything that we do that's energy productive. And that, to me, that's a problem. Now, the interesting thing about lithium, and maybe I'm getting the types of lithium, but you know, it's a mineral that's in the ground. Water runs through it. And lithium, you know, in some cases is used for people with, mental disorder, not a mental disorder, but it's used for different kinds of brain.
I think there's a difference. I know what you're talking about, and I'll have to think about that
later.
It's
a mineral where, yeah, the water runs through it. Either way, we have the minerals here. You know, there are lithium-producing mines in Nevada that we could do our own batteries. But no, we can't be in the energy production business. As a matter of fact, I remember Biden selling off their strategic reserves and saying, don't worry, I'm going to buy it back cheaper. He never kept that promise. And now the last of our reserves, he sold off. How come?
You know, you mentioned lithium, and they did. I guess lithium is a mood stabilizer medication that works in the brain. So, yes, I would imagine it's amazing that you should say that. I guess it's the same mineral, the same element that they use for bipolar disorder.
Bipolar disorder.
Yeah.
The other thing that it does, remember yesterday or the day before we talked about the mutant gene that doesn't die, but it just becomes a monster gene that you either got to extract or get it to revitalize itself.
Or you age.
You, and some people get older faster than others.
Yeah.
Lithium. Now, the people that live near these places that have lithium that's in the water, they look younger and live longer. Cool.
Well, I got a question for you. I mean, didn't we talk about Oprah just a couple of days ago? Oprah dropped her stock in Weight Watchers because she admitted that she was taking pharmaceuticals to stay thin and younger looking. And I said to you, I've been trying to lose weight for years. I don't know of too many medications that are all that effective. There are some where you can lose a little bit here, a little bit there, and usually temporarily. But apparently Oprah's found something that works long term. Of course, she's worth billions of dollars, so she's got the funds to do that kind of thing.
But if you look at her history, she has ballooned up and down. Like a Chinese balloon, you know, it inflates, it deflates, it inflates, it deflates. And I'm not making fun of her in that way. I mean, a lot of people have weight problems, but she needs to come clean and be honest. I'm glad that she admitted she was hoaxing everybody.
But what is she taking? Is she taking something that is legal, or is it something which is illicit? You know, I don't have any more trust. See, here's the problem I have with Oprah. With all due respect, yeah, she was worth billions before she bought into Weight Watchers, but she suckered a lot of people into buying stock and buying product.
Yeah, she did. By the way, I do want to mention, because I mentioned lithium and somebody goes, oh, well, it can do all of that. You know what? Do your research on it because, I mean, you're talking now. They do for bipolar. They give a larger dose. But, you know, for the other things, you want to be alert. You want to maybe have a shot at youth. I don't know. But all of that stuff, you're talking micrograms, 1 milligram or less.
Yeah.
And it can, let's say that you suffer from headaches and it can work with that. But here's your problem.
It has to be refined, right?
Well, no, you better talk to your doctor you can buy it at the store. You can buy it online, but you got to be careful. So Bill Knight's not telling you to go, oh, here's a miracle thing. No. That can sit there and react with any medication or other things that you're taking that can make you very ill. So get ill off bare aspirin.
You're saying you can't buy lithium over the counter without a prescription. You need a prescription.
Yes, you can. You can?
No.
You can.
Jeez. I'm glad you pointed that out then.
That's why I wanted to disclaim it. Because, you can buy it, yes, but, let's say you take sumatriptan. It has a bad reaction with triptan. So, sumatriptan. So,
talk to your doctor. Don't do anything without talking
exactly
to your doctor.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. Don't do. I heard Bill Nye say, no, he mentioned that it has these, it does a lot of, it can drive your car. It can drive you. It can drive you into the ground, too. So,
This is interesting. Biden administration has admitted flying 320,000 illegal immigrants secretly to at least 43 airports in the U.S. to lessen border crossing numbers. I repeat, 320,000 illegals.
How many flights would that be? And can the airlines please release those flight manifestos?
It looks like they're using charter airlines. I saw one of the planes they were using. It had nothing on it at all. No, it had maybe a tail number, and that was it. It didn't have any kind of name of the company or airline identification on it. So
this is like the Tom Cruise movie about the 80s, when they were flying drugs and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
And,
well, listen. Maybe
they're taking their drugs away. A lot of those people could be goats. They're carrying.
Absolutely. Hey, look at friends. So we got to wrap it up because we've gone on. We could do this all day, actually. Our number is 833-538-7868. 833-538-7868.
Mail at itsanotherday.com. Mail at jimandbill.com. jimandbill@mail.com. And any other kind of mail that you can think of.
That's about it.
We got snail mail at jimandbill.com, too.
I think we've just about done it, my friend. It's a time for you to wrap it up as only you can wrap it up.
All right. I got the wrapping paper right here in my hand, along with the ribbon, the bow, and I'm just going to go, while I'm doing this wrapping, say, hasta la vista, baby. We're out of here.
This is CRN America.